For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody, it is Thursday night, March 21st, 2024. This is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your heads. I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. I'm going to go around the room like I always do and introduce this cast of characters that we have on this show, starting with, from the Rob the Genius Podcast, he is the Minister of Truth, the Father of Facts and Figures, the Deacon of Data. He's the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast and the man with the golden shovel. Mr. Rob, how's your week, sir?
Not too bad. Been pretty quiet, which is a good thing.
Yeah. All right. And the Mindless Wrestling Podcast resident high flyer, a man hailing from the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine, Bucky's tag team partner, also a man destined to go through a barbershop window, Jason, sir, what's up?
We're here.
There you go. We are here. How's your week, sir?
Long, but good. You know, Nothing bad, crazy. Maybe I'm just in the you know, doldrums before the trip.
Right.
You know, going to WrestleMania and whatnot.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about WrestleMania here in a little bit. My week has been crazy, man. As I've been talking on this show for, you know, a little over a month now, I am leaving my current place of employment and going to work at a new job. And I'm in the transition phase now because I'm down to, I got to finish out tomorrow, all of next week, and then Monday and Tuesday of the following week, and then I'm in the wind. I've got quite a bit of responsibility with my current job. I'm a manager. I have a lot of plates spinning in the air, and I have a lot of knowledge to impart in the next 5, 6, 8 working days. Okay. So there's a lot of shit I got to dump on people, and I don't know that they're ready for it. But I've also had multiple people out over the last week. So the week has been rough. And today ended up being a shit show. It started off as a shit show. I started working out again about 2 weeks ago. And last week I was on vacation. So I just, you know, worked out whenever I could. During the week, the only time I have to work out is in the morning. If I work out at night, I won't sleep, and I already don't sleep, so I don't want to compound the problem. So I usually end up getting up at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'll put in like an hour long workout, then I'll go shower, eat breakfast, and head to work. Well, I did that this week, and then I thought, you know what? I've been working out for like 11 days straight. I need a rest day. So today was going to be my rest day. So instead of 4 o'clock, I set the alarm for 5 o'clock. I went to bed last night. I was cooked. I went to bed at like probably 9 o'clock, and it's usually closer to 10 before I go to bed. And I was probably asleep by 9:30. So I slept for the first time in a while because I took a couple of Benadryls because my allergies were just ravaged. Florida is like being dusted by pollen right now. It's disgusting. So I'm laying there at some point this morning thinking, man, I had a good night's sleep for a change last night. I'm feeling pretty good. I slept. The alarm hasn't gone off yet. I'm gonna keep laying here. This is nice. So I'm laying there, I'm kind of dozing off and on. And finally, my girlfriend starts elbowing me. She's like, what time are you getting up? I'm like, I set the alarm for 5. She said it's 6:15.
Oh, no.
Now, mind you, I usually arrive at work by like 6:30. So I wake up like, oh, shit. Fly out of bed, get myself showered and dressed and out the door in like 15 minutes. So that was my morning. And what ended up happening was I had set my alarm for 5 o'clock, and yes, it was AM, but before I went to bed, I went in the kitchen and cleaned up the kitchen a little bit and left my phone sitting on the kitchen countertop all night. So I never heard my alarm go off. I was just snoozing right away, loving life, thinking I was in heaven, and yep, there it was. So got to work late, which I hate. I don't know about you guys, and I know Rob, you work from home, but I don't know how you were in your office days. I can't walk into work and go right to work. Like, I've got to come in, gather my thoughts, have a cup of coffee, get ready for my day. I've got people on my team. If they're supposed to be there at 7:30, they are running down the hall at 7:30 and 15 seconds, getting ready to clock in to start their day. I'm like, how do you animals do that?
I cannot do that. No.
Yeah. What about you, Jason? Do you get to work like right at the moment you're supposed to start, or do you like to get in early and kind of gather yourself?
No, I mean, I get there and I'm because the way my job's structured with now, with where I'm not answering any like immediate calls or anything like that usually. So yeah, the way my job's structured right now, it actually makes sense for me to sit down, read my emails, drink my coffee. Okay, who do I flag this, start this? At the beginning of my day, I'm very much a menial office worker with no pressing issues. So it very much fits my style that I can sit down right at 8 o'clock, but also don't have to immediately start full bore working.
Yeah. See, that's me. Our clinic doors open at 7:30 and our first patients are at 7:30. So, and from 7 to 7:30 is usually when I'm doing all my opening duties. I start up all the equipment. I open up all the exam lanes, you know, get any supplies that are needed for the day. So I like to get to work between 6:30 and 7. So if I want to drink my coffee, or if I grab myself like a donut or something on the way to work, I can sit there and eat my donut and just mentally prepare for my day. And because at 7:30, it's balls to the wall until we're done. And that's what happened today. Like, today was a mess. I was already down two people. One was on vacation. One was helping out in the OR. And then we had another one who needed to take a doctor's appointment. So she ended up taking like half the day. So the morning was already a marathon. And it's our post-op day, so we're just crazy, balls to the wall. And then at like 8:30, our computers took a crap, and we're on computerized medical records. So now we're already running behind. Now we can't use our computers, and I'm sitting there like, and my team is just looking at me like, don't talk to him, because he's got that look on his face. He's got that look on his face. Just leave him alone. So from there, it just went crazy. And then Thursdays have become just such a crap day with this job, because we record on Thursday nights, you know, peeling the curtain back a little bit. Thursday is also my late manager day. We have four office managers and we rotate out late days. Thursday ended up being my late day. Well, there are times we start recording by like 7:30. And like today, I didn't even get out of the office until like 6:30. And I still got to come home, get changed, go to the bathroom, eat dinner, and try and plan some type of structure to a podcast episode. And it's just been very, very cumbersome for the last month or so. I'm hoping with the new job that'll get better, because my day off during the week will be Thursday. So I won't be, you know, running around here like a crazy person at 7:05 on Thursday evening trying to put together a damn podcast. So now that we've got all that out of the way and I've purged the demon. We're very much about purging the demons on this show. because we're very into mental health. We've been very open advocates for mental health. And this is part of my mental health. You guys get to listen to me spew my garbage. And now I feel better because I've, you know, got it out there. So we're going to talk WrestleMania tonight. We are literally at the time of the airing of this podcast, 2 weeks away from WrestleMania night one. And I want to talk to my guys here, and we're not going to talk about the matches per se. I want to talk about the hype for the show. I want to kind of feel you guys out, see where you're at, see what you're thinking. And then I know Rob and Jason are actually going to be boots on the ground live in person for night two. So 2/3 of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast will be present there. They're going to talk about that here in a little bit, but let's just start off, Rob. I know we go through this every 12 months with the internet wrestling community, where they complain about the hype. They complain about the build. And we usually disagree. And I will admit, we've had our discussions about the the main storyline with Roman and The Rock and Cody and Seth, how it feels a bit convoluted. Like, I feel like at times, you know, there's a sense of, okay, what are we doing here? But overall, I'm digging it. What about you?
I'm on board now. It took a little while to get me there, but I'm on board now. And because I guess for me, yeah, I looked at everything and I came to the realization that our boss, Greg, was saying this from the very beginning, that this stuff was planned.
That, I fully believe this. And, you know, yeah, we've kind of been saying that on this show for a while, too.
Yeah. And so now, I mean, because at first I was worried that they were knee-jerking to respond to, you know, those people on the internet. But now, I mean, now that I've, you know, sat down, looked at it, thought about it, and I've come to the realization that this is what they planned. I think the only thing that probably is different, I think, is, you know, if CM Punk hadn't gotten injured, Cody would probably have a different partner for the match.
Probably.
Maybe it'd been Drew. Maybe it'd been Jay. He'd have a different partner, I think. I think that's really the only thing that was unplanned, I think, because there's too much there's way too much that has happened.
I'll interject with the whole, you know, it's planned thing. I fully and completely agree. But your theory right there is shot in the foot when you interject Punk's injury. Like, yes, it was planned, but they clearly had to pivot. And I'll just blame their pivot then. Their pivot sucked and it ruined the order of operations. And it just made this thing clunky as hell. So I award no marks for this was planned.
But because what were they going to do? I mean, you're talking about the biggest storyline going into WrestleMania. Who bigger than Seth Rollins to be the fourth wheel? Like, if Seth is available because Punk got injured, let's rewind. Let's go down a different timeline. Punk doesn't get injured. You've got Punk and Seth at WrestleMania night one, main eventing night one.
I can tell you right away, Punk would be the opponent for CM Punk. So this wouldn't be a tag thing. Maybe it would be. But Drew is not a part of this at all, aside from being the foil to Seth's segments on whatever show he's on. He wasn't part of the press conference. He wasn't part of this. With Cody's history with Punk, and if you even don't want to like mention it, but just walk around it like they do with him in AEW, yeah, that becomes an interjection. Like, I would say Punk would probably be, maybe not at the press conference, but certainly he'd be a bigger part of this entire story. Like, Drew hasn't had any interactions with The Rock. I bet CM Punk would have.
True. I think it could have been Jay, because where Jay and Cody teamed up, they were tag team champions briefly.
Yes, I think Jimmy and Jay is the plan for WrestleMania. Was the plan all along.
That was in pen.
Now, of course, they could have done double duty. I mean, just the same way that everybody's doing double duty now, except for Rock. So Jimmy and Jay could have done double duty. Or Jay could have done double duty, had the match with Jimmy and done the tag team match. I mean,
who knows? Maybe they, never mind.
Well, because, I mean, in that scenario, like, say, or Jimmy and Jay could have been, you know, impromptu, like, Jimmy could have cost Jay and Cody the tag team match, and then Jay would have been like, okay, fuck you, dude, we're going tomorrow night, you know, in kayfabe, you know? Right, I mean, something like that could have happened, right? I think the only thing, again, you know, I think the only thing that has been changed along the way was, Or maybe not even, you know, but the Seth Rollins involvement, I think, is the only thing that was not hammered out from the beginning. Because,
right.
I mean, because look, Rock is either available or he's not. Right. Like, you can't make him he can't make himself available at the last minute.
Right. And I think that's part of what people are having a hard time understanding, is they're like, you know, because everybody keeps saying, you know, if Cody's going to win this year, why did he lose last year? And there's this whole argument as to why they haven't done The Rock versus Roman yet and why they may put it off until next year. I'm like, you're talking about the busiest dude like in entertainment. And he really, up until 6-8 months ago, really thought that his slate was going to be full with DC movies. Like until before, you know, James Gunn took over and, you know, told him, nah, we're not going to do that. I really think he thought there was going to be a much larger time investment from him needed for that. And that's not even counting whatever TV shows he has his hands in. His tequila company, he's got a skincare line out now. I mean, this dude literally, I don't know where he finds time to sleep if he sleeps at all. So carving out time for him to do anything with WWE is hard enough. And, you know, his movie.
By the way, he also is actually on the board of WWE now.
He is now. And I think some of that may have been because the DC thing fell apart. I truly believe he was hedging his bet for the next five years at least on that DC money.
I'm saying I'm adding to your busy point, because even if we've got him for this amount of time, like, you know, the dude might have a little bit of a bump card where he's like, all right, man, I got this left. So I don't know. Like you're saying, we can't take anything for granted. Although I hate that they teased Godzilla versus Kong, and then they said, actually, it's Godzilla and Kong against, you know, Thing 1 and Thing 2.
But I'm like, okay with that. Like, I'm okay with that because nerds like us want The Rock and Roman Reigns, okay? But we have to think of the bigger picture. There's literally, aside from the fact that most of the people in the bubble and a couple people outside the bubble know that they're cousins, there's absolutely no heat to the casual fan for that match. Like, there's got to be a reason, and I think we're building to the reason as we speak. Like, I full-on believe that at some point there's going to be an implosion because The Rock has fully taken charge. Yes, he quote-unquote acknowledged Roman Reigns as the tribal chief on SmackDown. But this is The Rock. He's an egomaniac. He's an alpha male. And Roman is already side-eyeing. Roman's already like, whoa. I'm the tribal chief. Yeah, and you can see it. It's subtle. Because Roman's awesome at subtle.
It's not even that subtle, because think about how many promos Roman really hasn't had. Think about how many times he has been the focal point of the promo, aside from, I want your belt.
Right.
Like, it's been, Roman has been a sidecar to this, and that is going to come to a head, just like, you know, Seth
and
Rollins.
And I think that's intentional.
Looking,
yeah, I absolutely think that's a plot point.
Oh, yeah.
Roman now feels like a side item, and that's going to all explode. So and you know what? I'm ready for it. Like, you think about when we got McMahon and Austin. People wanted McMahon and Austin day one, and they made us wait, what, 12 months, Rob?
Yeah, it was a while before they actually.
It was at least 12 months, and they teased it, man. They teased it with the tip several times. They were going to do it on Raw, and then some shenanigans happened. Then they were going to do it here, and some more shenanigans happened. And then when they finally pulled the trigger on it, it was freaking magic. And I think that's what's going to happen here. I think The Rock has definitely got a few more matches in his bump card. So I'm okay with, you know, if Cody, quote-unquote, finishes his story this year and we build up to The Rock and Roman Reigns at 41, I'm totally okay with that. I'm down with it. Like, let's do it.
Now, I will say, okay, one thing that is still – I will still say it's still inexcusable was the whole not at WrestleMania thing. That was shitty writing. There's no getting around it.
Yeah, and that, no matter how convoluted of an answer they give you.
Yeah, that was some shitty writing. And again, and the way they tried to explain their way out of it was some bullshit. But outside of that, I mean, if they'd handled that part better, then I would have zero problems with it. But I, you know, but as it is, I'm overall, I'm okay with the way things have gone. And again, people, no, sorry guys, I know y'all want to think that y'all, you know, forced them to change and that you forced them to listen to the fans.
No, Cody and Roman was in Penn, and yeah, you could have just got here slightly differently. Just have Dwayne come out and be like, oh, this is my cousin. Isn't he the greatest? Like, don't even tease the match. It didn't even make sense that they were teasing the match in a way. I was like, I guess they'll get there. Because they come out and, like, handshake and hug and all this stuff. It's like, what are we doing? So, yeah, just shitty writing, Rob. I think I will just leave it at that.
And because I think, honestly, the thing to do, I think they just had Cody waffle. And then while he's waffling, you know, they could have, Rock and Roman could have tried to make their own thing. It was like, hey, this guy's taking too long. Fuck him. And then, you know, and then he could have said, no, wait a minute. You can't just do that. Okay. I won the damn match.
I agree with you on the waffling part, Rob, because I found that very intriguing. When Seth and Cody had the face-off on Raw and Seth's begging him to, you know, pick me, that's a layer of intrigue because Cody didn't say, no, I want to go for the big dog. He's like, you know what? I'll think about it. Yeah. And I liked that. He could have done that for two or three more weeks and not had this, yeah, I'm going to face him, but not at WrestleMania yet. I really think that they probably... It probably looked good on paper, and then when it literally played out on TV, they probably took it back to the drawing board and said, okay, that stunk.
Guys,
how do we get out of it?
Just said, all the things we just said, literally, if they had changed the one thing that each of us had said, it probably would have been fine.
Yeah. So. I think it's all going to come down to how they stick the landing on night two. Night one's going to be just an incredible blow up. I fully expect Rock and Roman to win that one. Night two and how they stick the landing on this thing is going to either make or break this thing. And I'm hopeful. You know, they keep telling us, you know, we're going to give you something you've never seen before. You know, it's something, you know, this is a new direction. I'm buying into it. Okay. And I know that WWE is notorious for, oh, things are going to change. And then, you know, a year later, we're still doing kind of the same kind of stuff. One area that I'm a little, that I want to branch off here a little bit. How do you guys feel about The Rock's Twitter promos? Like, do you think it's adding to it or what?
Oh, I think it's adding to it.
I think you're adding to it, and it's exactly what you were going to get from Dwayne The Rock Johnson playing Hollywood Rock in 2024.
Yeah, because I think it's necessary because if he can't just go out, like, he has to add context to what he does out there on live TV, because if he just goes out there on live TV without adding this stuff to it, then, you know, when he comes out there, everybody's gonna be like, yay, Rock's here, yay. And you can't, you know, it's going to be hard. It would be harder to get, like, heat or whatever.
Get the message across, right?
Yeah. So I think it's easier for him to set up being a heel doing these Twitter promos first than to just go out there and get on the mic and try to be a heel.
Right.
I think, and because remember, I mean, he's rusty. He's out of practice. You know, he's not doing this. He hasn't been doing this every week for a long time. Right. So he's, and like, cause like when he did the, you know, when he did the rock concert thing Friday, like, it was obvious he didn't practice that shit. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was good for him because he can get away with it because he's The Rock. Right. But it was pretty obvious. He didn't practice that shit before he went out there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, and even it was still good for what it was, right? But it's just, yeah, I mean, it was for me anyway. It was, I was like, okay, yeah, he just went out there. He's, because some people noted it. Oh, well, he has the words on the prompter or script or something. It was like, well, yeah, because he didn't practice this shit. Okay,
yeah,
okay, I mean, right. But I think it's easier. It helps. I think it's a better help for him to set things up to do these Twitter promos ahead of time. He's got to get himself in the right kind of mindset because he's been, you know, happy salesman Dwayne Johnson for like, what, 10 years now?
Yeah.
I mean, 10, 15 years now. That, I mean, he's been, you know, hey, I'm singing the Manoa. What's her name? Is it
Moana?
Moana. I've been singing that all the time. And, you know, I'm pushing the tequila and I'm, you know, showing up and buying people houses and you know, and all that. And he's been doing that for the last, what, 10, 15 years.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, he's been doing that.
Not to mention you have Dwayne The Rock Johnson involved in your programming, and he has more Twitter followers than you do. Yeah, this is, that makes perfect sense to put him, make him do, excuse me, half of his promos and half the story on Twitter and on Instagram.
Right. And in fact, I'm looking up now to see he has, okay, so.
He has 17 million on Twitter. WWE has like 13 point something, 13.8.
Yeah, I'm looking at
that's just Twitter. Real quick.
Yeah.
Like, he's more famous than your institution. Like, arguably, you know?
Yeah.
Yes. So it makes sense for him to do it. Yeah. I mean, and also, and that's also the thing that will get some of those quote unquote casual viewers. They'll see some of those people undoubtedly, you know, saw some of the Twitter stuff and then said, oh, okay, he's going to be on TV tonight, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think in that, absolutely it's been a plus. And I'll go ahead, Jason. I'm sorry.
It's the old trope of the WWE network. Like, not, oh, it's free 99, you know, free month and then 9.99. You know, it's, oh, Dwayne's, you know, cutting a Twitter promo. That's kind of interesting. Wow, he's going to be at WrestleMania. I haven't watched WrestleMania. Wow, it's only on Peacock. Boom, you're done.
All right.
Yeah. So, and
use the traffic, man.
Yeah. And then, and for the millionth time, guys, they had to do something different this year. They, you know,
I won't argue.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't have just Cody and Roman cut promos on each other 9 weeks.
No. Last year it was interesting because, you know, we got to see, you know, Roman cut some really good promos. And, you know, we had the tie-in with Cody, you know, trying to do it for his dad and, you know, finish the story. It was fun. Last year was fun, but you can't duplicate that again this year and it'd be nearly as fun and rope as many people in as they have right now.
Look, if they were doing that, we'd be doing watch alongs for the next 2 weeks.
Pretty much.
We'd have already been doing watch alongs if that's all.
Hey, this is pretty much, yeah, that's fact. Is there any
because we would have been adding to the list of legendary promos that people put on that bozo who was engagement farming today on Twitter. And it's like Roman Reigns has never cut a good promo, so he's not as good as CM Punk. And, you know, sorry, the tribal chief exists. Never mind, you know, my yard now.
I can't even deal. I'm not even giving those guys any mileage.
No, that's all. It's engagement because they know they're wrong and they'll be proven. Well, they'll get a little feed, you know, bottom feeders who will be like, yeah, this is correct. And then they'll get
ratioed engagement to death. And unfortunately, getting ratioed ends you up in the algorithm.
Yeah, that's what
and they get you paid if you're a verified Twitter user.
Yeah, I ain't paying to verify my account.
No, dude,
it's not happening.
No, to quote my old friend Ray, you can verify these nuts.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. He. If it's the Ray I'm thinking of, he loves. Oh, different that's Ray.
That's from a friend of mine from college. He's no longer.
Oh, okay. Friend. Okay, I got you.
When the song "These Nuts" came out, trust me, if you wanted to see a bunch of supposedly grown men acting like children, we spent a whole year doing "These Nuts" pranks after that song came out.
That's incredible. God, the stuff we did in our 20s, I could sit here and go on for hours just to the dumb stuff we did thinking we were hot shit.
Yeah.
Now WrestleMania this year, I think is going to be amazing. And it's really lining itself up to be, and please, I think I've said this please on the show before.
Rob, this, DJ, Mindless Mania. I mean, we got 2 out of 3, boots on the ground.
Yeah, it is Mindless Mania. We're going to get into that in just a minute. Actually, you know what? Let's get into that now. Rob and Jason are both boots on the ground. Guys, talk about it. Tell me what's going on.
Well, Rob, you're getting in before me, right? Because you're going to Final Battle.
Supercard of Honor.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I'm doing that Friday.
Giving Tony Khan some money. Oh boy!
Look, man. Look, y'all know. I'm the resident Ring of Honor mark of the show here. Okay.
You are.
Okay, and so even though yes, it's you know, and to be fair, he is actually running it as its own thing. This is not, you know, this is not WWE CW the way he runs.
Yeah.
And I mean, he runs Ring of, he books Ring of Honor better than he books, didn't he books AEW a lot of times?
From what I see, it looks like the same cable access Ring of Honor show that I watched on my, you know, what is the equivalent of cable access nowadays, show here. Like, I watched it in syndication, and just it has a bigger budget. He didn't skimp. I'm not saying that. It looks gorgeous, and it's the same show, really. Like, I'm amazed that he hasn't tinkered with it.
Yeah, I mean, so to his credit, he's kept the continuity. You know, he's kept the look and the aesthetic and all of that. So, you know, to his credit, give him credit for that. And he's, and you know, it's been a good place to use some of his AEW people. And well, there's
just
one
get it on TV, Tony.
Yeah, some kind of way. And you know, you put all your other Ring of Honor champions on Dynamite. You should put your Ring of Honor Women's Champion on Dynamite.
Right. You know? Well, but look at it this way. Don't look at it as putting money in Tony Khan's pocket. Have they announced the card? Do you even know what the lineup's going to be?
Well, all right. They've announced two matches. Mark Briscoe is going to wrestle Eddie Kingston for the Ring of Honor World Title.
Okay.
And I think this is Mark's big moment to win one for his brother Jay, who of course died
later. So that's a good thing to be live for, Rob. I think that's, you know, yeah, I think that's going to be a moment for you.
Yeah, and then Athena is defending against Akira Ishida, the women's championship. That should be good. They're going to beat the shit out of each other.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
And just hearing that main event, again, credit to Tony, because I'm sure, yeah, like Rob said, you're at the one-yard line. We don't care. We all know what we're looking at. Let's make a memory.
Yeah. Is Claudio still wrestling Ring of Honor, or is he back in, like, officially on the AEW roster again?
He's been on AEW. I don't know if he's going to go do anything there that weekend or not. They've only announced two matches so far.
Okay. That'd be pretty cool if you could see Claudio wrestle someone.
Oh, me too, yeah.
He's fun. Yeah. Have you ever seen him live?
I've seen him in a couple of WWE house shows. He's always fun, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw him at house shows. Triple Threat with him, AJ Styles, and Ricochet for the U.S. Championship. It's a good match. It's a lot of fun.
I saw him wrestle Miz at a house show. And
okay.
Miz and Maurice was with him too. And so, I mean, Miz is great on house shows. He's one of the better house show wrestlers you will go see. I mean, he does the whole shtick, the whole and everything, you know, and it was a great match him and Cesaro had at the house show a few years ago that I saw.
That's cool. So Rob's getting in early. Rob's going to the Ring of Honor show. What's happening after that?
So then I will get in Saturday at some point because we're driving. So I'll get in some point Saturday and we're going to link up. And I don't have any tickets for anything until WrestleMania night two. So, Rob, do you have any tickets at that point?
Oh, well, Saturday is the most important day for me.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Rob's going to WWE Access. I mean, WWE World.
Yes.
And to see his queen, Charlotte Flair.
Yes.
So. Hopefully you'll get to, well, no, you will get to see her because this is a WWE thing. So you're not going to get shafted like you did last time.
Yeah, this isn't Fitterman Sports.
What a terribly incredible story that was.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that's going to be Saturday. And then we're going to link up and do,
night one somewhere. We were just talking about it, like, I, you know, it may be at the hotel bar and, you know, I plug in my Fire Stick or whatever, something like that. But because the only thing, people will have watch parties, but man, the only ones I've seen are like $50 cover, like $100 cover, crazy stuff. So not doing that.
Everybody making that Fed money that weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, everybody gets to eat. You know, everybody gets to eat when the tribal chief provides.
You know who else wants The Rock to be at WrestleMania? All the local businesses that are sponsoring these watch-alongs.
Yeah.
Because now they can charge $50 to $100 cover because people want to see The Rock. Probably twice in two nights. Because you know he's going to come out night two. He ain't just going to, like, go home on night one and fly back to wherever Rock resides these days.
No. Look, I fully expect it. Anybody who
either has, sets up the, because man, they've been, if they want to get to a Cody Rock solo match, they could in about 2 seconds. So that credit to that. Like, I didn't think we would get there, but now they made it work. I mean, again, by sidelining Roman, which will pop up later, I'm sure. But yeah, that's crazy that they've made that. So, man, in terms of, you know, they've got me for the main event. Like, I could see any scenario.
And like, I expected they're gonna be like 50 run-ins on night two.
Oh, that's gonna be shenanigan heavy. Like, I'm almost overbooking it in my head. Like, I hope Austin shows up to freaking thwart The Rock. Just like I'm booking all this ridiculousness. Like, in my little fantasy brain, somehow or another, I've even worked The Undertaker into this scenario. Just because I'm going balls to the wall in my head right now.
Because I'm thinking of anyone who had any type of association or beef with either Cody or Roman. Like, I want to see fucking Damian Sandow come in the ring and jump Cody.
Something. You know? From the Rhodes Scholars.
Yes. Okay.
Ted DiBiase Jr.'s coming out, man.
Yeah, I mean, just bring everybody, man. Okay. Yes, I want to see everybody, okay? And Dustin, put a mask on. I know you can't come there, you know, as Dustin Rhodes. Put a mask on, be like the Midnight Rider or something. And
how incredible would that be if Cody was against all odds with the entire bloodline, and Dustin just showed up and started just beating people within an inch of their lives? Like, for me, being just a long-term, one, Rhodes family fan, and two, a long-term Dustin Rhodes fan. Like, I loved Gold Dust, and I loved most of what Dustin has done, you know, through the years when he was, you know, healthy and mentally stable. I've loved a lot of the stuff the man's done. For me, as a fanboy, I would blow the roof off the house if Dustin Rhodes were to show up and save his baby brother from the bloodline. To me, that's just, I would pop for that.
Yeah, and get see if Nikita Koloff can come out there.
now you're really getting in there, man.
Oh, and then looking to top it
off. You know, my ultimate like dream scenario is that Punk is healthy enough to work, and he works night two, and he shakes hands with Satan himself, and he helps Roman win.
Okay.
Because imagine just the short circuit that would go through most fans' heads.
Yeah, Mike, don't promise you got to. That's kind of.
I mean, you tease it as if he's going to help Cody, like he's sneaking up behind Cody, he's sneaking up behind Roman, rather. And, like, then you do the twist. You don't just run him out there, like, when Cody's about to win and have him spear Cody or GTS Cody.
I think if you look at the way Punk has behaved since he's been back, we're getting the babyface run, because this dude is showing up at NXT. He's hanging out with the kids. He's all of a sudden he's a company man. You know, he's doing commentary. He's at the kickoff shows. He's, you know, I think we're on the babyface run for CM Punk. I don't see a heel turn from him anytime soon.
Yeah. And he's got Drew waiting for him. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But so. I just want, yeah, if anybody who's spent 5 minutes around either Roman or Cody, please do a run in. Okay. All right.
That'd be a hell of a lot of fun. I hope they go full blown shenanigans on this thing, man. Just do it, man. It's WrestleMania. Yep. It's one night a year. Throw all the ridiculous out there, whatever it takes.
Yes. And look, it'd be worth the price of admission just to see Austin do one more stunner on The Rock and Rock, do the whole flip over thing one more time.
If you guys get that Sunday, because I know a year ago we were talking about this and we were all collectively planning on going to Philly. Like, that was the plan. My life took a turn in 2023, had some setbacks. So, you know, getting to WrestleMania just was not in the cards. And now that I'm starting a new job, it's, even if everything else wasn't in the way, that is definitely in the way. So it just wasn't going to happen for me, but I am so jealous of the fact that, one, that you guys are going, and two, I wanted to hang out with my boys. But thinking of the potential things that you guys could get on night two has just got me like, God, crazy, crazy, crazy to think of what could happen.
And
I'm not ruling out Sting running out there to save his favorite little stinger, Cody Rhodes.
All right, is Sting still under contract with AEW? Because I know he retired, no, quote-unquote, but I think he's still under contract. Huh?
I had heard, last I knew, that his retirement match and his contract dates lined up, not exactly, but pretty darn well.
Okay, because I saw it suggested maybe, and now, again, this was total fan booking, fantasy booking, that, you know, people were always arguing that we never got the Sting versus Undertaker match, and there are some people that feel like, I think, actually, you know what, it may have been Bully Ray who suggested this. It was Bully Ray suggested that maybe Triple H reach out to Sting, and if he's available, give people that match, even if you do it a cinematic style.
I don't want it
at this point. I think we're well past that being something, and with only, you know, 15 days to build that, it's too late.
And like, honestly, Sting, I'd rather Sting stay retired, because don't do like Rick did. You had the perfect ending, Sting. We would have rather it happened on a WWE show, but he got the perfect ending.
Not a bad word to say about how that ended.
We'll put it over every week, I guess. The Hall of Fame run at AEW, like, flawless. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I guess you could get selfish and say you wish he was champion or something like that, but practically, home run. So, yeah, go on that, man.
Yeah.
Now, I imagine my guess is that it wouldn't surprise me if he just, you know, did freelance appearances from here on out.
Throw the paint on, Sting or Splash Roman a couple of times, and then we don't even see you again in a WWE ring.
I don't know. Nah. He needs to send those boys over to the performance center, though.
That's
Monday. You show up on Sunday, you get the grand tour. Yeah, these are the boys. You know, these are, you know, hi, how are you? Good to see you. Blah, 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 blah. You do your thing, you throw the face paint on, you're out there for 10 minutes max. You know, you go save your favorite little stinger, the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. You hold his hand up as he cries because even though you tried, he still lost again. And Roman Reigns reigns supreme long into, you know, the millennium. But we do that. And then Monday morning, you drop the boys off at the Performance Center with a gift wrap that says, to Hunter, or to Sean, love Stinger, the end.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Okay. Are you guys anticipating any surprises? Because I've got a list of people who I think may surprise and show up.
Right now, well, No, I don't have any surprises. It'd be really nice. I would really, you know, love it if they needed a special referee for Bayley and Io, and they sent the rehabbing 14-time women's champion out there to do that.
That's I have great. Not ruled out a Charlotte. She's on my list. I have not ruled out a Charlotte Flair appearance at one of the night WrestleMania nights.
Yeah, and
yeah, I mean, more than a.
She's not wrestling. No, I don't mean to wrestle. Right. I don't mean to wrestle. But if you've watched her rehab, she's getting along pretty well. Actually, probably ahead of schedule. And I'm not suggesting she get out there and get physical. But I would fully not be shocked at all if Charlotte Flair comes out and interjects herself somewhere in WrestleMania.
It'd be nice. Okay. I mean, just I think, yeah. I mean, like, I mean, her being a referee. I mean, my idea would be to have her be like some type of special referee or something for Bayley and EO or some enforcer or something. Because, I mean, she can guard it. She can chop some people. I mean, she can't take any bumps right now. But
yeah, and then she can pin, and then she can pin EO and count herself the winner.
Shoehorn herself right in there, huh?
That's right.
There he goes. He's breathing heavy.
I see through your plans, Rob. I see through them.
That's not even what I was thinking.
Okay. He's only got some nefarious plans where Charlotte Flair is concerned, doesn't he?
No.
Yeah.
Like there's an agenda. Like there's an agenda.
No, I have no agendas.
The no dirtiest agenda. Player in the game, Rob Bunnett. No, I have no
agenda. I also would not rule out CM Punk in some capacity.
He's doing something. Yeah.
He's doing something. He's out of the arm brace. I saw some pictures earlier. He's out of the arm brace and, you know, doing some kind of rehab stuff. Again, not ready to work. Definitely not ring ready, but I would not rule out CM Punk. I also wouldn't rule out, and I know we just talked about him, some type of Undertaker appearance. I've seen some videos of him. He's been working out a little bit. I don't think he's working out to get in the ring and wrestle, but I wouldn't rule out him putting on the gimmick one more time and coming out and doing some type of an appearance for something.
Yeah. Tombstone or chokeslam, whatever's easier for you at this point. Tombstone or chokeslam somebody who can really jump for you, you know, and call it a day.
Right. Because I think he's, you know, just completely tied to WWE until he passes away, either by appearances or, you know, backstage hanging out with everybody, giving advice, whatever his desire for that is. I think he's always going to be tied to WWE in some way, shape, or form.
And look, I mean, we're talking about run-ins, you know, I mean, since Triple H can't do anything, I mean,
yeah,
Shawn comes in there and throws a super kick on somebody, right?
Speaking of Triple H, did I read that right? He's going to play Kratos in the
I don't know.
The God of War game?
I had not heard that.
I
want to say somebody posted something. I'm in a chat thread, or I saw something. They cast him as Kratos in the God of War game. That may have just been fake news, and it probably was, but I didn't know if you guys saw that.
Well, let's
I had not seen it.
Let's type in.
Please debunk that for me, Rob.
Okay. Here we go.
Culture Crave, but it's not.
Here we go. Well,
no, it's not the verified. It's a fake one.
Culture.
Oh, it already got.
Culture car.
Okay, that was.
You got God, DJ.
Thank you guys for debunking that for me, because I was reading that and it just didn't sound right when I saw it.
You look like him. Jesus.
I hate when they do that, man.
Yeah. No, this had the one I saw actually had a picture of it. It was actually Triple H, and then there was a header. And I didn't. I don't spend enough time on Twitter to really deep dive. I just kind of flip through. I thumb through it when I'm like on the can or something like that, and scrim through and see things. I don't. Yeah. Okay. So we've debunked that, and we're moving on. Well, so,
culture crave is an actual thing.
Okay.
So this thing was culture carve.
Okay. No, I didn't even pay attention who dropped it. So.
But that's how they get you. They'll have like they'll have one letter different in the name, so you're thinking it's the actual. You're thinking it's the actual regular thing. Trust me, I've gotten caught like that.
Myself. Yeah,
And
you think it's is what it is. I'm not worried about it. I saw it, and like I said, I was literally sitting on the shitter, thumbing through Twitter, and that came across my bum. Like, what is this? I'll talk to the guys about it later. So, thank you for debunking that.
Probably.
So. Yeah, man, I think this has the potential, like I was starting to say earlier, to be Triple H's WrestleMania 3. Like, I really think there's an opportunity to give us some huge moments. And if they're really interested in turning WWE in a slightly different direction, then I think this is a good springboard play. I think it's a good jumping off place. One thing that I noticed, and I don't know, we can kind of go down this road a little bit, I guess, is, you know, we've got three of four guys pulling double duty on WrestleMania. And there's always the argument that certain people aren't going to get a spot on the card because these guys are taking up time. And The Rock is notorious for eating up time. I mean, we've had WrestleMania matches altered because The Rock went out there and took too long. We've had SmackDowns and Raws altered because The Rock went out and took too long. If he's not going to adhere to a strict, you guys have 27 minutes, don't go 28. You know, if he's not going to stick to that.
Kofi Kingston got murderized by Brock Lesnar because The Rock took so long.
Because The Rock couldn't shut his hole, you know. Because I was looking, Bronson Reed posted something on Twitter about a week ago after he lost his qualifying for WrestleMania match. He posted something. He's like, "Well, I didn't get to wrestle in Perth, and now I'm not going to Mania." And I'm like, and you got to have to take these things with a grain of salt, but you also hope that the guy's not genuinely getting discouraged. And that's always WrestleMania is a big deal. You know, it's a big payday. It's a big spotlight and showcase for talent. And when you're left off that card, you probably have to feel a certain way about it, I'd imagine.
Oh, absolutely.
That's also, you feel like it's a stamp of approval. So, you know.
Yeah. So I guess where I'm going with this is I hope that people like him don't get discouraged. Unless, again, I'm taking what I'm seeing on face value at Twitter. It could just be him, you know, understanding that there's a plan and I'm just playing along. But if this is a shoot and he's genuinely, you know, disappointed in the fact that he's not going to be on WrestleMania this year, I look at it this way. I'm like, dude, 2 years ago, you got released. Okay. Vince McMahon just looked at you and said, no. Triple H brought you back. You've been back for what, a year?
Yeah, he came back in 2022. So
okay, so late 2022. It's been a little over a year. We'll say 18 months. So you've been back for 18 months, and I would say he's been fairly regular on TV. Like, he hasn't gotten any major pushes. Obviously, they haven't strapped the rocket to him, but they put him in some big moments. He was in Elimination Chamber last year, right? It was Elimination Chamber, right? Yeah, he was in Elimination Chamber, had a hell of a showing. He's been in some meaningful matches. It's not like he's been a job guy. And I look at that, and then I line him up next to, say, a Xia Li or a Candice LeRae. And as far as I know, neither one of them are working WrestleMania. Xia Li's been part of the WWE program since the first Mae Young Classic.
Yeah.
You know, and more or less so has Candice LeRae. And, you know, so I would say to a guy like Bronson Reed, be patient. Your time might come, you know, and maybe after we get past all the major stories that are going into WrestleMania, they free up some room for a guy like him. Or, you know, they go somewhere with this Candice LeRae thing that they're going, or they do something with Indy Hartwell. You know, I'm hoping after Mania to see the landscape in WWE shift a little bit and some people that we haven't seen get a whole lot of opportunity on TV, or they've just literally gone out there and jobbed, maybe see what they can do. You know, shuffle up the talent a little bit.
Well, right now,
so Bronson, I would say, you know, the good thing is if it's a work, he can turn it around in 2 seconds by tweeting, you know, it's time for a change and beating the shit out of somebody on Monday. And then if there's a push behind that, boom, we're off to the races. Perfect. So that all that, you know, whining, quote unquote, not even whining, just like, you know, aw shucks stuff makes sense. And there's a payoff to it. If it's a shoot, and I'll just speak to the wider, oh, because The Rock and so-and-so are on two nights, you know, so-and-so is going to be off the card. So-and-so's match is going to be shorter. I would hear that argument any other year except for we got the comet called The Rock to fly by. Sorry to everybody, but like literally everybody not named Roman Reigns. Because if Cody Rhodes wasn't, you know, as hot as he was, it would be a it would be a paint by number kind of thing. It would be like, okay, the Rock's available, fill in the blanks and build the biggest thing we can around him. So this would happen every single year and the trickle down effect would be the same.
Yeah.
This is it, man.
Look, I mean, look, it 2 years ago with Austin, right? I mean, it just, it is what it is. I mean, and look, I always go back and forth between the, you know, get everybody on the card or don't mentality when it comes to WrestleMania. I'm always fine either way, but, right, they got 10 matches right now. There are times where they've done the get everybody on the show thing, and then you have two or three matches, and it's just like, okay, why'd they do this?
Oh, I'm on a project right now with the lawyer Dave and PC Tunney. We're doing the Big Four project, and we're going through right now. We're on the tail end of WWE's golden era. We're in 1992. But when we were looking through like 88 and 89, the WrestleManias in through there, it was absolutely let's get everybody on the card. And several of those matches were throwaway.
Yeah. And
yeah. And that's not better, guys. I promise it is not better. Like, I don't know. Yes. Would I be thrilled? Because I'm going, would I be thrilled if, you know, Dijak was on the WrestleMania card when I was going, I'm bummed that I'm going to miss him like chips in the night for his friggin' NXT match. Cause he's wrestling for the North American title. And if I already told him, and I think I said on the show, like, hey, if you win, you know, and I'm on the road, well, just tell, and you know, the security, this is this guy's name. This is his phone number. This is his photo, you know, watch out for him. He's going to be crying, screaming, throwing up and having a good time. I don't even remember where I was going with that, but it's just a wild and incredible WrestleMania build overall that I feel like, everyone's kind of lost in the sauce of, we're even with the obvious hints that they're giving, everyone's kind of forgetting that Damian Priest still has the Money in the Bank briefcase. And that somehow that's not a factor anymore. And no one's factoring it into anything. Bro, the funniest thing imaginable would be Cody winning and getting cashed in on, guys. That is the funniest outcome. Possible.
I would have to delete the Twitter app.
I wouldn't even be mad. I would not, I promise. If I was there for that, never mind the night where I could watch Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, and Damian Priest exist as the WWE Universal Champion. Just being there for that psychotic event would be incredible.
I wouldn't want to be in that sea of people when that moment happens, sir. And you two are going to be right smack dab in the middle of it.
Oh, Damian Priest, I mean, you would surpass Drew McIntyre as the baby face of WWE.
So how close are y'all sitting together? I know you said you were in the same section.
Yeah, the Rob was like 10 rows in front of us, not even like six. I don't know. I forget where we all are, but I could probably hit him with some popcorn.
So you got at least decent enough seats to see the ring then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Man, that is so cool. I'm so jealous of you guys. I really am. Like, I'm sitting here listening to you guys. I'm like, I want to go. Like, screw it. I'm going to cash in on my 401k, and I'm just going to buy a ticket and go.
401k loan, man. Pay yourself back.
Yeah. No, I know. I thought about it, but no, that weekend is going to be so tight for me because I start the new job on Monday afterwards. And just like you said, my life just took a turn, and the recent events, nothing lined up for me for this year.
Yeah, I understand.
So are you guys coming home on, I guess you'll be coming home on Monday because you probably want to get out of, I would imagine you get out of that arena before midnight.
Yeah, I'll come home on Monday.
Going home on Monday. Okay, Rob, you're taking the train?
Yep, go to Amtrak.
Nice. Just take
an hour up and an hour back.
Oh, that ain't bad at all, man.
Nope.
Oh, that's nice. So the NXT shows that weekend as well, are they in Philly, or where is NXT coming from that weekend?
It's in Philly, but I don't know where.
It's in Wells Fargo.
Oh, okay.
Do we know anybody that's going to that?
Is it new?
No, I'm just curious. I didn't know if maybe I'll throw a message in the chair shot chat, see if anybody's going, and maybe next week when we really, you know, start ramping, maybe the next 2 weeks when we really start ramping up the WrestleMania talk, I'll have somebody on there and see if, you know, what they think of the show and if they're going to go.
Because right now this was, they have what, Tony D'Angelo and Dragunov and then Dijak and Oba.
Roxanne and
Josh Briggs.
No, she's not wrestling Josh Briggs.
No, Josh Briggs is also in the Oba and Dijak match.
Oh, it's a triple threat.
He's there to take the L.
He's there. No, then you got Lira Valkyria versus Roxanne Perez. I'm sure they've got some other matches they're going to announce between now and then.
I mean, yeah. Oh, and
Trick and Carmelo. How the hell do you forget about Trick and Carmelo?
You know what? You know what's going to happen? Dijak's finally going to win his title because, you know, Olive stupidly not got tickets and not gone. And it's just Triple H went, you know what? I've seen enough. Send him up. I'll figure it out with Oba. Yeah.
Now, I read something earlier on Oba that they're planning on keeping him down there a while, like they did with Braun Breaker, let him cook a bit more.
I would imagine.
Oh, they need.
Yeah, and then that was the right move for Braun. Like, that's done wonders for Braun Breaker.
Yes.
So yeah, I think if they do it, plus right now the field is crowded. You got too much going on the main roster. Let Oba cook down in NXT, man. We've said this with Braun, and we were right. We're repeating the sentiment with Oba Femi.
Yeah.
Keep him down there, man.
Because I saw some stupid article saying 8 people that they need to call up after WrestleMania. I was like, 8?
8. And put them where?
And fire who?
I mean, right now.
Because like at that point, you know, 8 people, dude.
Well,
like you're beyond sitting people down.
I got a feeling we're going to be having that discussion in about 4 weeks.
Oh, man. Hey.
Because spring cleaning is coming, my friends. We hate to think about it. Well, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to hear it. But unfortunately, we know the time of year it is.
Well, and now we're at a point now where, like, you know, well, look, I've said before, they got too many people. It's already barely manageable now. And you might even say it's unmanageable now as it is. But. I saw that. I didn't even read it because I was like, no. Just
and you know what? Tony Khan doesn't have enough people, so.
Don't do that to those people.
If the checks keep clearing, you know?
But guys, y'all got to stop with this. Call this person up. Call that person up. I mean, stop.
Please.
Stop.
Although, I was just fixing my lips to say, I think this is Carmelo's graduation.
Because I think, but at least, I mean, he's been on TV a couple of times already. But even then, I mean.
Well, the thing is, they officially announced Braun Breaker for SmackDown, right? Like, he did that contract signing, 2 weeks ago? Braun's coming up after Mania. You got to figure Melo's coming up after Mania. I don't see anyone else other than that. I mean, unless they bring up some random person, but. A year ago, they brought up a whole bunch of people. One of them was Odyssey Jones, who has been – I even seen Odyssey Jones on NXT. Is he even still in the company anymore?
I think he does, like, dark matches on SmackDown, and that's, like, it.
I don't know, man.
And then they had, like – what's the guy's name? Zion Quinn was, like, a free agent or something, and he was out there – look, a few weeks ago, he got squashed by Braun. So, I mean, and then, you know, then there was the whole thing with – Indy getting called up, they had nothing to do for her for months. And then Caden and Katana and then Alba and Isla, they had like nothing for those girls to do for months. Call up 8 people. That's crazy. I mean,
yeah. Now that's why I said I'm hoping for a little bit of a landscape shift after WrestleMania. You know, get some fresher people on TV, give them something to do, and see if they catch on. You know, and if they don't catch on, then you know what you're working with. And from there, we can make some decisions. But, yeah, I think we're at a good place where we can start giving some people a little bit of rope and see what they do with it.
And for God's sake, please find some way to split up those damn tag team belts.
I think they're going to do that at WrestleMania. They're having just, the turmoil match, right?
One team grabs one set of belts. The other team grabs another set of belts. They both sit on the ladders. They clink the belts together. They kiss, they hug, and they go off in separate directions to their separate shows, never to be seen in the same ring again.
Or look, have R-Truth go up there and grab the red ones, and then and he's celebrating like, hey, we won. And then Miz is like, hey, what about the other one?
He only grabs one belt.
Yeah, have him just grab the red ones and then forget the blue ones. That'd be right on brand for him. And then while Miz is telling him, go get the other ones, have somebody from SmackDown run up there and grab the blue ones and boom, right?
Yeah. That match has the potential to be a really, really fun match. Looking at the elements in there, there's a lot to get excited about for that match. I'm looking forward to that one. Definitely looking forward to Jimmy and Jay. I know some people have been a little lukewarm on this because it really hasn't felt like much because they just didn't do much, but I think they lit the fire on it Monday night.
Yeah. Well, they've been rehearsing this match since they were five.
Yeah.
Like, guys, like, do you understand, like, what we're about to get? It's going to be awesome.
I think it is. I think people have been sleeping on it. Don't sleep on it. Like, the Usos can go, and I think they're going to deliver.
It's very clear they've proven over this Bloodline run that they can deliver the good when it comes to the drama. You know, they both can, absolutely, at this point. And, yeah, like I said, they've been rehearsing this match since they could, you know, take bumps on each other, which was probably way too young.
And probably.
And look, maybe Rikishi will finally work his way onto the show.
Rikishi getting one more WrestleMania payday would be just the most carny thing ever, and I would love him for it.
4 years of tweeting will finally get him on the show.
Like I said, man, he might be on my list of potential surprises. I think Triple H is going to throw as many things at the wall this year as he possibly can.
I mean, if at this point Rikishi doesn't show up for, you know, any of the Bloodline stuff or his, you know, son's fighting, like, in WrestleMania, like, the ship has sailed, guys. They're not calling him, period.
Yeah. If they don't do it this year at this event, it's not happening ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. How about we call the go home there?
Makes sense.
Yeah, let's get out of here. Let's call it a night. I'll wrap back around the room here and thank my co-host, starting with Jason, sir. Good discussion tonight. We unpacked a few things.
We had a good time.
We did. We honestly, because I got done so late, we haven't had much of a chance to discuss anything. We had no earthly clue what we were going to talk about tonight, and we just kind of called it in the ring. And sometimes I like that.
Yeah, it's best when we do that. And you know what? We were gonna talk ratings of because the numbers have come in for AEW. But you know what? I'll just say this.
I'll give you 10 seconds.
They are who we thought they were. They. That's it. I'm dead serious when I say the only thing I think that could make a sustained bump to, and this is not an insult to Mercedes, because like the only thing that has is CM Punk. So, okay, man. You got the biggest wrestling return ever, like, or the one available, you know, realistically available, was CM Punk for a long, long time. You got it. And you did fine with it. It got you your next cable deal and stuff, I guess. But and now you're just floundering again. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going anywhere, but, like, stop with the – It's the junior leagues. It's the whatever. It's the also rans, and that's perfectly fine because a lot they put on damn good TV for some of it, and they have damn good performers. So it's not.
There's a take out there that I saw, and it's been kind of floating around in a couple of different iterations. We can talk about next week. I think it's absolutely hilarious, and just proves to you how disillusioned their hardcore fan base is.
Well,
and I'll leave that as a cliffhanger. Guys,
I'll put it to you like this. We've seen the empirical evidence that, you know, in the case of any of these people, oh, so-and-so WWE superstar or so-and-so returning person is going to be here. I will watch. Great. And then their fans and curious people jump in and they stick around for maybe a week, maybe two, and then they're gone again because they have to sit through the rest of the show. And that's it.
And then what they're doing with the people they brought in at the end of the day doesn't end up being as interesting as they thought it was going to be.
Well, exactly. And I will say this. Out of the people they brought in, I'm kind of surprised because I thought Ospreay looks like right now between him and Okada, Ospreay is the one that is the net positive right now.
Yeah.
He's been fun. I can't even believe I'm saying that, but he's been fun. So they're treating him like a big deal, and I think that helps.
Yeah, so I think so far between now, because we're only in week two of Mercedes, so we have no idea how that's going to spell out over the long term. But between right now, between Ospreay and Okada, Ospreay looks like a winner as far as the acquisition. And Okada...
Okada has two anchors.
Yeah, and they're called Matt and Nick Jackson.
Matthew and Nicholas.
I'm sorry. Thing one and thing two.
I'm not putting that over.
Freaking frack. Whatever you want to,
Hey, you guys know I'm kind of, especially in wrestling, when they Occam's razor anything and they, yes. Okay, they're playing these preppy characters. Matthew and Nicholas. Perfect.
Okay. So let's get out of here. I don't want to talk any more AEW tonight.
Yeah, but I mean that's all there is to say right now. Ospreay.
They are who we thought they were.
And from the Rob the Genius podcast, Mr. Rob, thank you.
This is funny though, because when we started doing this, me and DJ were like the AEW haters, and Jason was the AEW not hater. And now I think me and Jason have kind of changed roles.
You know why? You know why? The funniest thing, Rob. Because I watched the show.
Well, so did I.
I watched it in the beginning where they repeatedly told me to fuck off. So,
Jason, you don't deserve to watch us because you're not a real wrestling fan.
Right. Well, I'm like, you're making fun of the show that I watch on Mondays and Fridays, but all right. I watch your show too because it's the same genre of television, but. Apparently not. All right, cool. See ya. And no, you can't trick me into buying your pay-per-views when they're $50. Like, you guys know I sit through episodes of Dynamite and whatnot. You know, yeah, because I pay a lot for my cable bill because I have every television show on a television channel on the planet. And I'm going to watch the free TV. But how many times do I not get a pay-per-view because I don't want to pay $50 to see Adam Cole? Like, I want to say $50 to see, you know, this guy, and also not have to sit through a 40-minute Bucks classic. So, yeah.
I'm sitting there saying for months and months, I don't want AEW to close. The more of these episodes we do, the more I end up talking about AEW, the more I want them to close because I'm tired of fucking talking about them.
I'll stop talking about it then, okay?
No, I'm kidding. It's relevant. Okay. We'll talk about it. But okay. Anyway, we are going to get out of here. Rob, sir, for the fourth time, thank you.
Man, as always, it is a pleasure. And, yeah, man, it's...
they give us plenty to clown them about, and it's a good time.
I haven't cut a promo in a while. I had to get that off my chest.
Oh,
yeah,
there it is.
Yeah, and I thought about doing one. See, earlier today we were talking about doing one because there was some stupidity on the internet, but we're not going to.
Not going to go down that road. That's another 45-minute discussion, and I'm tired. I'm old. I'm old, and I'm tired, and I work with fucking children. Anyway, you've been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, again, part of the Chairshot Radio Network. You can find us on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head. You can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are out of here till next week.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.